Of course, Robert Whitworth was right. Canals were all about money. A way of moving goods, especially coal, more quickly across the country to fuel the Industrial Revolution. This canal was one artery of what was becoming a huge interconnecting system as more and more bills passed through Parliament. It would never have got off the ground if there wasn't also a canal moving on from Melton to connect to the Soar, and from there to open up the possibility of joining the Derby Canal, the Erewash Canal, the Trent through to Nottingham, the Grantham Canal on to Grantham, and so on. The canal from Melton to Syston was actually a navigation, which is a little different, a process of making a waterway that already exists navigable by boat, by introducing locks where there were weirs, or straightening or widening various sections of river. And it's difficult to imagine that now, I think. To join the Industrial Revolution, with its images of factories and smoke and pollution and overcrowding, and the canal together. They seem to evoke such different worlds. The landscape we're going to be walking through is managed by the Oakham Canal Green Corridor Project. It's a charity that was set up a few years ago in 2020 to improve public access to the site, so that those who have known about this route can continue to walk it, and those who have never stumbled across it can finally discover this beautiful thing that's hidden away in plain sight, stuffed full of history and wildlife. Just up past the milepost on this side of the road, you'll see a path that will take us along the side of a field, with the canal to your right, hiding behind a bank of old trees. There's a winding track through there, a very uneven one because of all the roots, although we haven't got permission to walk on that. Anyway, let's set off, come on. We're going to walk across a couple of fields before we get to the Spillway Bridge. That's where we'll go to the next track. You'll know what it is when you're on it. You might catch a glimpse of the canal every now and again. There's a lot of bright green Canadian pondweed lying on top of it all along this section. I was walking along here when this path was laid. The heavens had opened, and there were a group of young women volunteers raking out gravel and getting soaked to the skin. I stood under the trees to keep dry and watched them. A mechanised roller arrived, and they were all invited to drive it, and all started coming up with reasons why they shouldn't be the one to get on the thing. The rain stopped, I walked off, and when I came back, they'd all had a go, and were now arguing over who could pummel the final few metres of gravel into the earth. They were so happy to be helping, they told me. They all lived locally and had no idea that there had been any kind of path here, that this field could be walked through. They felt as though they were helping to open up something that was really special. You need people like that. People ready to give their time for free to make the small changes that gradually pile up and make things happen. It takes time, but so did the building of the canal.
I dream of bricks. I try not to. I lay my weary head on my welcome pillow and hope that for this night at least, they will not visit me, the bricks. Yet they do, and when I awake, my sweating forehead stinks of clay. And I know that they are looking at me still, the squires and dukes of Rutland, wondering why it is me, William Dunn, who is in charge of this canal that cuts through their estates. Why can't we get Thomas Telford, they whispered when I first arrived, rather than this apprentice to the cutlery trade, who presumes that having managed a colliery, he might take on an engineering project of such magnitude. It was Colonel Frewen who, as leader of the Canal Company Committee, proposed me for the post of chief engineer, after the reports of the poor quality of Mr. Staveley's work led to his dismissal. The Colonel was a generous man in those early days, even inviting me to stay with him at Cold Overton Hall. I considered myself as someone he might think of as a friend, until, having chased me from his dwelling, brandishing a riding crop, his mouth foaming with the foulest language, it was evident he had fallen very much out of humour with me. I pleaded my innocence, explaining that I had no control over the financial difficulties that we seemed to be struggling with in connection with paying for the labourers. Yet, from that moment on, he lost faith in the entire enterprise and passed on his role to Sir Gerard Knowle, the London banker who had recently inherited the Gainsborough estates. Having spoken to the Colonel on his arrival here in Rutland, it was clear he had not a notion of the extent of his financial investment in the canal, being by far the largest shareholder. Yet, he has proven to be a stout supporter of the project, and also of myself, and together I am confident that we will accomplish the task in hand. And yet there are days still when I wonder if I had known of the difficulties that were to lie ahead, as my estimate for costs required to complete the work were accepted, if I should have taken the first carriage out of Rutland to save myself the anguish of it all. No sooner had the ink on my contract dried than the rain began to fall. Great fat lumps of it that made work difficult and which appeared every morning without fail for weeks on end. And then, when it did finally tire, and we all hoped for a period of meteorological equanimity, the driest season in living memory gasped its way into view. Equipment would be faulty, bricks not forthcoming, locks would have issues, and landowners, oh, the Rutland landowners, always asking for money up front, or for plans to change so as not to bring progress too close to their precious windows. And every 6 months, my waistcoat would come out, a general meeting would be held, the progress or otherwise stated, and those present would either drink my health in a full bumper or curse the day Colonel Frewen had invited me here. Yet I have stayed the course, having sought brandy to steady myself after being shown the first advertisement placed by the company for the provision of bricks, a mere 3 million of the things. I have faced down and refused to be overwhelmed by the scale of the task, the sheer size of it all. Culverts, aqueducts, locks and bridges are easy to think of, but more difficult to build, needing time, money, men and materials. The locks, for example, 19 in all, most toward the Melton end, with a clear run from Tee to Oakham. You need timber for those. Elm is better than oak. Then there's the lime. You need a lot of that to make the mortar for setting and pointing between the bricks. And wheelbarrows. So many wheelbarrows. Then there are the men who handle them. And dealing with the gangmasters who provide the labour has caused me as much turmoil as the canal's thirst for bricks. Helped not a jot, I might add, by the constant struggle to keep the money coming in from those who have subscribed. For there are plenty who seem unwilling to hand over payment when it is called for. And yet, we are managing. The canal opens, section by section, and will finally creep its way here to Oakham. And it is marvellous to behold what we are achieving. The swing bridge in Wymondham, the Saxby Aqueduct, and sometimes just the sheer effort of more simple things, such as the 200 tons of stone we had to boat along the canal for the 19th lock. Yet for all this endeavour, all this labour, all these materials, all this money, all these meetings, the smallest brook can bring us down or rise us up. If it's not bricks, it's the brooks that perturb my busy mind. They need to flow and keep flowing, because you can't build or buy the water to fill your canal and keep it in business. You need Mother Nature to do that, with help, of course. Oh yes, my hair has got greyer as these years and the yards have progressed, but we will, I am certain, prevail.
We should be at, or close to, the Spillway Bridge now, where we will see the water clearly once again and follow it for some time. When you are there, then go to the next track.